Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio with a Smith County Commissioner, first time guest, Mr. Matthew Inyart. I said that right?
You did.
Okay. Always check, try to check. But so, welcome. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Thanks for being so much. Yeah, thanks for being here. Brought your son, Cooper. We may get some insight from him later with his headset on. So, but always good to have guests in. Always good to have you. Always great to have county commissioners in. Since I'm one myself in Putnam County, you and I have had some dialogue back and forth probably over the last couple of years with Smith County, everything going on. And I want to talk to you about what's going on right now in Smith County. But before we get into updates and the budget process, because you all are a little bit later in approving the budget than you normally do, and we'll get into all that. But I want to talk about you first and your background and why you want to become a county commissioner. But are you from Smith County originally?
I'm not. So I am from Cannon County, born and raised.
Okay.
Graduated high school, went to MTSU, met my wife. We're both in Greek life, and we hit it off, and I dated for a little bit, and then she said, well, I'm moving back home with my mama closer where she's born and raised, and you can come or you can stay there, but I'm going back home. So that was pretty much it.
So you met in college?
Met in college.
Yeah, and you said Middle, right?
Middle Tennessee.
What was it like? I mean, that's a lot of people there, right?
It is. I mean, it's a lot different than what it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, because Sorority Row was Greek Row back in the day because you couldn't have sororities back there.
Okay.
Because of the brothel law that was still in effect.
Yeah.
So now all of that is now Sorority Row, which is also kind of weird to see, but it's done a lot of growth since then. I mean, when I went in 2005. Wow, that's been a long time.
Yeah.
That was when we broke the record for having most students in the state for a state college.
Yeah, I remember that. I graduated in 02 from Tech, so we're not too far, I guess, apart. You're younger than I am, but Tech, I think when I was there, I only had like 8,000 students. And so y'all probably had, what, 40, 30 or 40 then?
30 or 40, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Middle has grown. It's a great university, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, had a lot of fun. Had to drop out and get into the real life due to some family issues.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we always stayed in contact and made some really good lifelong friends through that.
So obviously you chose to go with Hart when you know back to Smith County, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So how long you been in Smith County since 05 or 06?
We moved back there. I want to say 2016. I think,
oh okay, okay. So y'all were Murfreesboro for a little while.
Yeah, Murfreesboro, yeah. Moved to Lebanon for a little bit and then made the jump across the. Across the little Highway 70 a little bit down there, down to her old family farm where we actually live in her grandparents' old house.
Okay.
Where her dad grew up and was raised with all of his siblings. So that's been a challenge in itself because we had to remodel and, old houses are fun.
Same. We got married in 08, moved into my grandma's house, 1,000 square feet, two bedrooms that actually were adjoined. So to get to the back bedroom, you had to go to the front bedroom and then turn right and go to the back bedroom. One bathroom, small living room, kitchen, little bitty space upstairs that I put a HVAC system in because my grandma didn't believe in air conditioning.
Of course not.
Raise the windows or put a fan on, right? Had a wood-burning stove for heat, but didn't believe in air conditioning. So I put an HVAC system, and the only option was to put it upstairs. So you and I have some similar experiences with remodeling an old farmhouse and living. We lived in it 4.5 years. And we built on some property I'd bought. And so, but yeah, we're better. Obviously we're better off, but there's good times in those houses, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Especially when you're trying to rewire stuff and you're thinking, oh, it's on a breaker. No, it's not. It's directly into the main. And then you go, that hurt.
We had a fuse box. That's how our house was. We had a fuse box. So, but good. Yeah, that's pretty good. So it's 2016. You've been there 8 years now. When you got to Smith County, Did you start volunteering for anything? Did you start getting into public service, or did you?
So I started in with Lions Club is real big in Woodbury.
Okay.
And I was a charter member of the Leo Club in high school, and wanted to set my roots down because I knew that's where where I was going to make my family and where we're going to raise our kids. With them, so I just wanted to try to get it back, and I started with the Southside Lions Club, started getting active in that, started getting in the Masons, member of New Middleton Lodge number 249, and also Carthage Benevolent number 14, and just started trying to get, trying to help and serve. My parents were, my mom is a, or was a registered nurse and worked in ERs for years, and dad was an EMS firefighter and started the local he was the first one to help start and co-chair the Cannon County Rescue Squad and the Cannon County Fire Department. So public service has always been a thing in my life. And they said, you know, if you give to your community, they'll give back to you tenfold. And that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I've never heard that on here. Thank you for that. That's a good perspective. So what at one point in time did you decide you wanted to run for county commission?
So I didn't actually so I was appointed. There was a vacancy in my district, District 4, which is Rome, Rock City, and Smith County has three commissioners per district. County Mayor Michael Nesbitt during that time contacted me because I knew him from some of the civic organizations that I've been part of and worked with him. And he says, hey, we've got an opening, and I think that, you know, you would be a good candidate for it. So I ran for it. The county commission voted me in that night after I called and pled my case of why I wanted to do it at least a little bit. So I served for a year and a half there and then sought for re-election. I've got lost by 7 votes. That was a heartbreaker. So I took some time off and decided to run again because it was still a calling that I really liked. I liked being part of the community and helping my neighbors be able to have their voices heard in that.
So you set out 2018 to 2022 and then decided to run in 22. Mm-hmm. When you ran, how many people ran in that district?
So we had 4.
4, okay. So you got in, obviously.
Got in, got the most votes.
Wow. Oh, so you went from losing to get that. So what did you do? What changed? Did you campaign more?
Campaigned a little bit more. The biggest thing is that I went with more people that had been born and raised there that I had known all of my time there. But I went with them and I says, I want to go talk to people. Mm-hmm. And I also got the data from the election office to see exactly who went and voted, tried to go hit those people up. Especially with those that knew them and tried to introduce me so that way we can kind of go a little bit further in there. So it's not just a name and I'm not just knocking on a door. Had some very interesting interactions whenever I did that sometimes. So I always tried to bring somebody with me that they would know so it wasn't so awkward and they wouldn't think I was selling them something for something.
It is always an adventure when you go door to door, right?
Yes, very much so. You never know what you're going to get,
never know
what they're going to answer in, what's going to get pointed at you.
Yeah.
I had a couple of weapons drawn on me.
Yep.
So
that's happened. Charlie Key, who has passed away, former Clay County trustee, told me a story. He went campaigning, and the lady just had answered the door in the birthday suit. And had a full blown conversation with him, and never went and did anything about it. And he goes, I was just mesmerized. I couldn't believe she just stood there and had this conversation. But he goes, I was at her home, you know. And so he stood on the porch and whatever. And I thought, yeah. And I've never ran into that, but I've heard some stories. So there can be a stigma or a stereotype for rural counties, especially in Tennessee, that if you're not from here, we're not going to vote you in. How did you combat that? How did you get over that? Because if you moved to Smith County in 2016, you were appointed as a commissioner in 16 or 17,
mm-hmm.
and then you ran, didn't win. But how did you come back from that?
So I mean, the biggest thing. I mean, we didn't. It helps that the family, my wife's family, has. I mean, they've been there for generations.
Right.
So once they could connect the dots,
okay.
and say, oh, you're. Harold's son-in-law or your Beth's son-in-law,
yeah.
and that helped because she, most of her family are school teachers in the county. Most of them have retired now, but they once they connected the dots of who I was and that I wasn't just a pure outsider, that stigma kind of went away.
Yeah.
So they went, okay, well, you have the good values. You know what, you know, hopefully what we want to have in you, and I always try to strive on that every time that I make a vote or make a phone call or receive anything from the public, trying to get, even if it's not even in my district, just trying to make sure that their voices are heard and try to give them an answer, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent that they may want. I just want to make sure that their voices are heard.
I've said this before. It's been a while, and I'll say it again. If you answer the phone or call them back or you respond to a message or you engage with your constituents in public when they come up to you, whether you agree or not on the issue, more than likely they're going to walk away feeling good about the conversation because you actually took time, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have your exceptions where somebody's going to be frustrated that you did not agree with them or you do not believe a way that they believe. And, you know, that's rare, I think, especially in rural Tennessee. People are pretty reasonable, in my opinion, especially the ones I deal with. I may not agree on an issue in my district with a constituent, but we talked it out and they respect that. So have you found that, I guess, to be the case?
Most of the time, I mean, budget's a hot topic for us right now just because of everything going on. But, you know, the other big thing is roads. I mean, that's battling not only in our county but in others. And it's always a huge issue, and everybody's worried about their road and what they're going to do and when it's going to be upgraded. And, you know, that's the big thing that I always try to do, especially with my social media for commissioner, to try to relay that information and have that available so that way people know what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Yes.
You know, knowledge is power, and as long as you can point them to the right resources to know where to go and what to do, that's going to help them help themselves to find answers of what's going on.
That's perfect. Again, it's communication and listening, right? And for you and I, it's more listening as a commissioner than it is really talking until they're finished. I'm going to backtrack to campaigning right quick. Did you utilize a lot of social media this last election?
I did, yeah.
Did you find that was beneficial?
Yeah, I found that it was beneficial more for just people recognizing a name to a face.
Yeah.
I mean, Inyard is not a Jenkins, it's not a Rogers, it's not a Davenport, it's not you know, it's not a common name. So once they could, you know, realize who I was, I mean, a lot of family photos were made and taken, or selfies with a campaign sign with my boys or with my wife or whoever, that helps a whole lot. So where they can put a name to a face and can connect the dots that way.
How many kids you have?
Just two.
Some one of them's here. That's
just
pretty
two,
cool.
Yeah,
Cooper's here. So I'm with Matthew Inyard. He is a Smith County commissioner. Which district again?
District 4.
District 4. Smith County is made up of 24 county commissioners, 3 commissioners per district. I actually helped with redistricting the last time, and there was some discussion. We may talk about that when we come back after the break about changing lines. There's one thing that stops you all from doing things. It's called the Cumberland River.
It's kind of big, kind of important. Can't really move it whether we want to or not.
So we may talk about that too when we come back. But I'm with Matthew Inyard, Smith County Commissioner. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with County Commissioner from Smith County, Matthew Inyard. He is on his first full term. He was appointed actually in 2000. Was it 16 or 17?
17.
Set out 2018 to 2022 is back as a commissioner. Matthew, I've loved the conversation so far, especially with about constituents and then campaigning. But one of the things we talked about before, 24 county commissioners in Smith County. That's the exact same number we have in Putnam County. We have 12 districts. You all have 8. And one of the things that you have, I guess counties have found a struggle is when it comes census time and it's time to redistrict or reapportion lines to make it, you know, one person, one vote, you know, basically an equal opportunity for voters in each district. Smith County's had trouble moving some lines to, you know, there was some talk, you don't have to say if you were for or against, you can if you want to, about reducing the size of the county commission 2 years ago, or I guess 3 years ago now.
So I was there for the last part of that meeting.
Yeah.
I'm also on the beer board,
of course. Oh, boy, that's a fun board to be
that's
on.
That's a fun one, yeah, especially for the county. We don't meet too many times, but we just happened to have a beer board meeting, and they were meeting in the other boardroom, so I went over and sat down and listened as a fly on the wall, and it was kind of interesting because a lot of the commissioners I had worked with previously were still on. So there was a lot of discussion of it. I mean, is 24 too many? I think it is, but it's trying to find that sweet spot, mm-hmm. and it's trying to get people that this is the way it's always been to not be that way, you know, try to change their optics of it. And that's always hard, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, I get frustrated with the answer of why is something done this way, and they say it's always been done that way. That brings me frustration. But
oh, yeah, same here, because it's, you know, not just because it worked back in the 80s, 90s, you know, 70s, even, you know, later, doesn't mean that it's going to work in 2020.
I've had a few people that served on the county commission with my uncle who served on it for 27 plus years come up to me and say, well, your uncle wouldn't have done what you did last night. And I'm like, yeah, that was 40 years. 40 years ago.
That was a whole lot of difference.
I don't know how you can compare what we did. Anyway, that's just a side note. But it, you know, it's a pleasure to serve. It's an honor to serve. It's a gift in a way. It's a blessing to serve. But it's also, there's a lot of responsibility coming with serving as a county commissioner. one of the things, I mean, you started when you swore in 2022, y'all met in September and elected a chairman, went through all the processes. From 2022 to now, you're almost 2 full years in, right, of this term. What's some of the things that's maybe frustrated you the most in Smith County? Not really picking on Smith County, but as a commissioner, what's some of the things that's frustrated you the most?
I mean, the biggest thing is just the, you know, everybody thinks that more of the public, they just think that we're the end-all be-all for everything, whether it's a school issue, roads issue, zoning issue, tax issue, and we, you know, you've got to explain of what a county commissioner is and what we have control over, and that, you know, you really need to speak with this person or that person. And that's most of the conversations that I have, is just trying to redirect them to the correct people so they can have their voices heard, and then also try to follow up with that department head or that elected official to say, hey, did that person contact you about this issue? And usually most of the time they say, yeah, they did, or no, they haven't. Do you have their info? And they're really good about trying to reach out and make sure that their voices are heard.
Well, I think honestly, Smith County is a great county. First of all, the landscape's beautiful. It's dynamic. There's things to do. There's a huge river, as we said, going through it. Actually two really that go through it. Mm-hmm. But those rivers make it hard to redistrict and move things and reduce that commission. There is a group of Smith County that's not a big fan of mine. We both know from a couple of years ago. That was last year, wasn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Time's flying by.
I know.
Last year with a school decision to centralize 81 to school, wasn't really happy about my decision. I will say this. I'm going to brag on you a second. You offered some insight in those meetings, but after one of the meetings, you come up to me. We try as consultants not to wear our hearts on our sleeve, you know, and try to be, you know, straight down the middle, very objective. Try not to pick sides, but, you know, stay with the law and stay with the best practice. And you come up in the parking lot to me and said, hey, appreciate you being here. Try not to let all the people, the school crowd bother you. And even one lady mentioned that I had a podcast or radio show. And I thought, yeah. Well, cool. At least she listens.
At least you have a listener.
Yeah. So at least I got one listener. So she don't like me, but I got one listener. But I appreciate those kind words because it left me with a positive feeling going home. And that's why I say try to be kind to people. You were kind to me that night, and you and I've texted back and forth since then, and we will get to where you all are in a minute, but I wanted your take with the frustration. What's something that makes you happy or proud to be a county commissioner, something that brings you joy?
I mean, the biggest thing is we have a county run park called Kid Central that they took that on as a community to build this wooden structure in Crump Paris, and it's a great addition to that. But it's dilapidated. It's old. And the biggest thing that we did this past year is that we sought bids in the steering committee that I was steering committee last year, and we helped try to get a revitalized or new plan and try to help give a benefit add. And we were finally able to get that approved, got all the money through some grants, got some matching funding with that, and we've actually installed it. And we're waiting on a chain link fence to finish it all up. But people are using it now, and they're very much grateful of that. They saw the need, we heard their complaints or their issues, and we did something about it. And I think that's, you know, that's something to be proud about, because that's something that's going to live on. Whether I run again or, you know, I get hit by a bus tomorrow, that's at least a legacy that I can say that I did that.
Yeah, I mean, there's still room and still a need for parks and playgrounds and things for kids to utilize that are outside, yeah. Right? And I think anytime you can utilize maybe grant funding or have the funding inside the county or city to make a situation better for young people, to get them outside every now and then and get them active, I think is great. And a lot of counties in Upper Cumberland, well, in the state, really focus some of their money on providing that, looking at grants. I mean, Baxter got the Blue Cross grant and put that nice playground in the city there. I mean, I think it's just those things. So I love that. I didn't expect that answer. I didn't know what I was going to get, but I love that answer. Serving as county commissioner is frustrating and rewarding. We've covered some of that. The budget process has y'all been going on. Are you on the budget committee?
I am, unfortunately. So okay. I'm the this past year they elected me as chairman pro tem. So I've had the honor and pleasure and headache of that as well. So that puts me on budget automatically. So that was a lot of all the department heads come in with a lot of wants, and then you've got to try to break it down of what do you need.
Yeah, and you ask them that, and I'm not being critical of department heads because we love our department heads and elected officials. They do a great job. But you ask them that, and they'll say, well, everything I've asked for, I need. Well, we have to dissect it down, right, because we don't have the funding to give everything. And so
I wish that was the case, because that would make the world a whole lot better place. But
yeah,
you only have a finite amount of money to allocate out, and you also have to make sure that you have, you know, your employees are being paid well, or at least, you know, at market value. And that's something that we've really taken pride in these past 2 years, to try to help make sure that we're at market value and a little bit some, because we know that they have other opportunities to go make more money. Public service is not where it is. I mean, I know that. I work for the State of Tennessee Department of Transportation in their IT department. Love my job, but could I make more money in the private sector? Oh,
sure.
Heck yeah, I could.
Yeah.
But it's the benefits. It's the you know, the service that, you know, you want to do that type of work is what really brings you back to it.
Well, and I think when you're looking at that part of it, and what it's kind of what makes you happy in your role, but with the department heads, you can't make everybody happy.
No.
And
try to give them as much as you can, but you can only do so much.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them that's been in a while, because we're 2 years now in the term, so a lot of the department heads, elected officials, understand there is a budget process. But I also tell their elected officials, you don't get it unless you ask for it, right?
That's right.
We don't know what you want. You got to ask for it. So there's two sides of it. But anyway, enjoy my discussion with County Commissioner Matthew Enyart from Smith County, 4th District. Is that what you said?
That's right.
4th District in Smith County. We'll be back in just a moment after this break here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Matthew Enyart. He is a county commissioner in Smith County, just down the road here from Coolville on I-40. Matthew, great conversation so far. I love your perspective and the reason you're serving. You also have your son Cooper here. We're going to hear from him in a little bit. He's excited. So Smith County normally has a budget passed in June, and that's what the state law says, right? The state law says pass a budget by June 30th, but there is that exception to extend it to August 31st. We're in August, and there's not a budget that's been passed.
Correct.
So what's going on with the budget process in Smith County?
So, I mean, the biggest thing is we did the 81 Act, which we're really proud of, and that was a good achievement for me as well. I'm glad to help with that, just to try to have some visibility on what's going on, not to single anybody out, but we had already started it whenever I was on last time. We're doing the 57 Act. With the highway department, and mm-hmm. Trying to get all of that straight, and then trying to take everybody else in. The biggest thing is schools have come back. We voted down their budget this last time with just the budget committee twice. They've asked for more money than what their usually growth is. Usually their growth is around $2 million. And they've came back for their last they've sent a revised budget, but they increased it $8 million.
So okay.
It's a big jump. They want to give and a lot of good things in there. We're not trying to criticize what they're doing, and they do a great job of stewardship of their money, but they only have a $13 million fund balance. So you go an $8 million draw, you can only do that 1 year, and then county's on the hook for the rest of it for year two. And with TISA funding set to come back down and be more of a local match, it's just making sure that we don't have a budget crisis like we had when Mayor Jeff Mason first came into office.
Yeah, which I tried to help you all through that back in 18-19. It was a budget crisis. There was basically not enough revenue for expenditures, right?
No, and we were borrowing funds to make payroll, and you know, it was not the best practice but it has been that way for years, and no one saw any different until you know, we got some help and got some visibility on it.
It's domino effect, and then the big tax increase, and then but y'all kind of pulled that back some too, because there was management improvements with managing the money, with the commission's approval and the department heads, you know, not spending everything that's in the budget. But when the schools or any department, we won't pick on the schools, but any department comes, you know, they're departments are usually pretty consistent on what they ask for.
Usually, because you're going to have the same amount, you know, usually day, you know, year in, year out. You know how much you're going to spend on fuel. You know how much you're going to spend on payroll. You know, you may want to add a position here and you know, adjust that money that way. And that's all fine. The biggest thing with the schools is that they wanted to give a 10% raise to non-certified employees, which they deserve it, and they need more money because they're – I don't know how you could survive on it, honestly, especially in this day in the world. I mean, everything's going up, and you know, and to have you know, bus drivers and shortages and EAs and subs and things of that nature, where you're not making that much money, but you can go to Lebanon or you can go on to Cookeville or Macon County and make more money doing the same thing. You know, it puts our county at a disadvantage. So we like that idea. The teachers got a 12% raise this past year. They want to give another 10% on top of that, and then also include with insurance for non-certified personnel. Well, when you add all that up, that's a pretty good chunk of change.
That's getting close to that $8 million, right?
Yeah, that gets a good close to it. And then you add, you know, some capital projects, which they have pulled back, they've reevaluated some things. I think they trimmed around $2 million or, you know, 1.7 or 1.8 back, but we'll say $2 million back. So it's a manageable amount, but there's still a lot of line items that it doesn't make sense of what's going on. And that's what we're just trying to – we're trying to work better together with the school board and the county commission to try to get some more. And they've been very helpful with coming to the budget meetings, or at least having a couple of members there along with their chief financial officer, so that way they can, you know, discuss more in depth. Because a line item where it says, you know, this much money, if the outside person doesn't know what that is, we don't know what it is,
right,
or what the intent is.
Right.
Whenever you say capital outlay projects and you've got a $700,000 tag on it, you go, well, what's that? What's that for?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just trying to work through that and trying to find a balance. And there's a lot of because of the 81 Act and everything that went on with it, there's some tough egos, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Some feelings hurt, and just trying to work through that so that way it's not – we're trying to go for the betterment of the good and trying to help the county grow and be more competitive, because teachers are leaving – Smith County because they want to make more money, and I don't blame them. And not just teachers. I mean, you know, non-certified personnel and you know, a school is only as good as your support staff. I mean, let's just, you know, teachers are the backbone of it, but, you know, it takes a community to help make that school grow and be more prosper.
Yeah, that's for sure. It takes everybody. And, of course, you just said it. You're having, you know, the schools are having teachers leave to other counties, other systems, right? Because of the pay, so the school systems are trying to make up for that, which a lot of counties are trying to do. I got a phone call from one of the upper Cumberland County mayors just the other day, fussing at me and Putnam County for giving another cost of living raise to our employees. He's like, I cannot keep paramedics in my county. I can't keep so-and-so. We can't keep teachers.
And we've had that same discussion. In fact, with our EMS director and 911 director, and they're both the same role, he said, you know, a lot of counties wait because we're one of the first ones usually out of the gate that passes our budget in the Upper Cumberland. And then they'll say, okay, well, Smith County's doing this, then we can do this. And, you know, kind of raise that ante just a little bit to try to attract that person who's right there on the fence. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that they want to be close to home and they want to serve the community that they live in. And there's other ones that want to chase the dollar. And there's nothing wrong with that by any means. But you want to try to keep, you know, people that want to be in the county, that live in the county, you want to try to keep that there.
Do you foresee a tax increase coming for this budget?
For this budget, I don't think so. We've been blessed with new funding, well, not new funding, but with new building and the tax revenue from that. So we're not looking at one. We are looking at doing a wheel tax to help with the roads, because as everybody knows, I mean, whether you live in the county or not, you use the roads. And, you know, TDOT is seeing this with the Transportation Modernization Act. They're trying to rally it. And infrastructure is the backbone of anything, or everything, I should say, because without that, you can't do anything.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't have a drivable road, you can't drive a bus down it. You can't get a cop car down it. You can't get an EMS ambulance down there, or a fire truck, or just yourself. So you've got to help with that. So we're looking at some dollar figures. We had a workshop last month with the full county commission just to try to say, this is what budget committee is looking at. What do you guys think? Is this too high? Is this too low? And then, you know, we asked all the commissioners to go out to their community to talk and say, is this going to be enough? You know, so we're thinking about a $50 wheel tax. That's what we have proposed from the budget committee. Some people have thrown out $100. But whether you rent or you own a car.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the most easy and fair way to try to get money for the roads by recouping it, because you don't want to place all the burden on the tax, on the property tax, because not everybody owns property.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a great way to look at it. I mean, I've said this before on the show as well. I agree with you on infrastructure. And I find in counties across the state, some of the people that ask the least of commissions are highway superintendents. But they're in charge of the roads, right? And if we don't have them, you know, in good shape, then a cop car, sheriff deputy car, blow a tire, or school bus, you know.
And then you drive up your maintenance cost on your vehicles,
yes.
And it's a domino effect of that. And we've been really blessed with Mickey Barrett and all of the ladies and gentlemen over at the highway department. They do a stupendous job. We brag on them all the time. I mean, they've been out, you know, all weather to try to help and do everything to get the roads passable. But at the end of the day, everything's going up and they're still running on a budget that was set forth back in the 80s. And it's just not enough.
Yeah.
So you got to find new ways to try to help fund that and then try to help them better the roads. Because that's the most complaint that almost all of our commissioners in Smith County get is, you know, my road is terrible. How do we do this? So we've done a grant through with Collier International to get all of our roads graded so we can have a system in place of, you know, here's our A, B, C, D, and F roads to try to figure out where to attack and where to go next. And then that helps Mickey and his team to be able to, you know, he tries to spread it out. So he'll do one in one district, one on one district. Or,
right.
You know, he doesn't try to concentrate it all in one. So one is benefiting from it all because you try to spread it out to everybody.
He'll prioritize per district, by district, right?
Yeah. I mean, and then also, you know, you want to get the major thoroughfares and then, you know, use whatever state aid money you've got or you can get to try to help with that. So he does a really good job with his budget. He's always out there trying to do more things to help with it or say, you know, like he said, you know, well, we tar and chip most of our roads besides our main thoroughfares. So let's buy a spreader for this. So that way we're not just rolling it off of a dump truck and it's going to be a lot more easier. It's going to be a lot more effective and it's going to be a lot faster doing it this way. So we were blessed and able to buy him that. I think it was last year or the year before. So he's always trying to think out of the box and always trying to look for a deal or look for a new innovation through the highway superintendent's conference that they go to.
Yeah, and I used to go to those quite a bit, and you learn a lot about funding, what's out there, you know, trying to be more efficient. So I think that's a great perspective. All right, Cooper. All right, so Matthew, his son Cooper is here. Cooper, what three sports you play, buddy?
Baseball, soccer, and basketball.
All right, buddy. That's it. You were great.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. Your time to shine. Matthew, thank you for being here. Appreciate your time.
Always.
Appreciate your service to Smith County. I have enjoyed working with you. You can always call or text me. Even my new role, I appreciate talking to county commissioners and enjoy it. So I appreciate you being here and being on Local Matters with me.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. And we've got our next county commission for the budget on the 12th of August. So 7:00 at the Ag Center should be an interesting time for us all. I told my wife that don't plan for me to be there. That I might be a little late because that might be a long meeting. So
yeah.
We'll see.
And guess what? I don't have to be there this time. So.
I mean, you can come.
I appreciate it. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed this show like I have. Commissioner Matthew Enyart from Smith County has been with me and been my guest. His son Cooper's been here. Hope y'all have a great weekend. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than to frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. We'll see you next week.